Top 100 Sci-Fi Authors Countdown, numbers 100 through 91. Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
And I am Ben DiBono, and we are back. More authors. How about that?
More authors. Now, we had talked about possibly trying to do all of these in one sitting some afternoon. We could still do a lot of the rest of them, but that's not the case for today. In fact, depending on how tonight goes, we're either doing two tonight or three tonight.
And we'll just see.
So,
No one knows yet.
No one knows. But, Ben... I'm excited. We had a great time with the runners-up, and now we're about to kick it off official countdown style. And so I think
we got to do it now.
I think it's time.
One last thing by introduction. As we promised, we'll get into more detail. Some of you chose very obscure authors, which is great. So some may have more detail than others have more detail.
And I'm going to go ahead and work on the one you told me about off the air.
Even though you haven't read it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I got this.
All right. That one won't be for a couple episodes, but...
Oh, okay. Well, I'll be ready.
Yeah. All right, here we go, everyone. Buckle your seatbelts.
The Sci-Fi Christian presents the top 100 sci-fi authors as voted on by our listeners.
If that doesn't get you ready to talk about some authors.
And now your hosts.
I don't know what will.
Matt Anderson and Ben DiBono.
Yeah, here we are.
Hello, everybody. Oh, thanks for putting this music together, Ben.
Oh, you're welcome. I suppose I should fade it out. How long?
Definitely.
I forgot that I needed to fade it out manually.
No, no problem.
So I was just going to let it go.
So do you want me to just say the number and you can say what you want about each of these? And I'll try.
You tell me if you've heard of them before.
Okay. Well, okay. I'll do
well,
that.
See,
I can see this is humiliate Matt hour.
Just out of curiosity, as we get into the top 100, do you think that I have read more authors on this list than you have heard of?
Oh, I do. I really do. So I'll be totally honest. Going forward, we're in the top 100 now. I will tell you honestly if I've heard of them. I think it'll be clear if I've read them or not, but I'll tell you if I've heard of them.
Well, let's both say both.
So you'll say read or, well, I guess if you read it, of course you've heard of them, and I'll say heard or read.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, all right. So let me go then. This will be my main part of the show.
This is the numbers.
Number 100.
Number 100. Lemony Snicket.
I actually thought this was a character.
It kind of is.
So this is a real person.
Well, it's a pseudonym for a guy named Daniel Handler, and he used it to write his series of unfortunate events children's novels.
Yes, I've heard of that.
So there are 13 books in the series.
It's possible I've only heard of it because I know of the Jim Carrey movies.
Yeah, have you seen the Jim Carrey movie?
I haven't.
Well, there's only one.
Did not do well, I'm guessing.
So published between 1999 and 2006. How about that? The whole series is done. And I don't know a ton about this series except that it involves character, little kids, and a guy who was played by Jim Carrey.
And some unfortunate events.
Presumably unfortunate events.
So he uses a pseudonym.
Yeah.
And you heard that here first, folks.
Probably not. At least not if you're at all remotely familiar with the series. I remember when I worked at the bookstore, these were very popular, and they were all coming out in the early 2000s. Mm. So if you are into children's books or are, in fact, a child yourself.
Well, is this a young adult author or is it children's literature?
I don't know. Somewhere in there.
I mean, there's 100 authors, people. We can't be expected to know everything about everybody.
They're obscure at the top. Lemony Snicket, everyone.
Number 99.
A fellow named Andrew Main, who... this guy's actually kind of interesting. I'd never heard of him before.
I have also never heard of him.
Or read him, for that matter. But as I was looking him up on Wikipedia today, he's actually a magician.
Whoa.
He does some magic, and he's a filmmaker. But he got voted on for his chronological... Man, are you keeping track?
Yes, heard, not heard.
Okay. So heard gets one, not heard
gets one as well.
Very good. Now, I haven't read Lemony Snicket, so I'm at zero then.
Okay.
For red.
So you're red or not red?
Red,
I'll
not
be
red.
Heard and not heard.
Oh, could you give, you should keep track of that on a different piece of paper for me. Okay. There we go. Red, not red. Two under not read.
Got it.
Okay.
So Andrew Main.
Andrew Main. Now, he got voted on for his book series, The Chronological Man, which I had never heard of. So I went out to Amazon and helpfully got the book description.
Oh, thank goodness.
So we're going to do this for some of them where just there's not a lot to say otherwise. And as we get closer to the top, as authors become more prominent, we'll move away from this. But at the bottom, this is what we got to do. So, the exciting first chronological man adventure. It's 1890, and the citizens of Boston are beginning to go missing in the fog. The police are confounded. The public is frightened. The city is on the edge of hysteria. It's up to the mysterious Smith, inventor, and adventurer to figure out what's going on with the help of his assistant, April Malone. They'll have to face off against, number one, a secret society. These aren't actually numbered in the description, but I thought it'd be fun. Okay. Number two, corrupt policemen. And number three, a mad psychologist hell-bent on dissecting Smith in order to solve the mystery of what's going on and to save the city from an even more sinister threat.
Whoa.
Now, let me ask you a question quickly here. We explained how these got voted on in previous episodes, so I'm not going to go through all the ins and outs of that. Yeah. But for this person, now, I've never heard of this author, but it seems like maybe a popular book series. Did this person get more than one vote? Like, are we in the area now where...
Oh, no. No, because remember, if you give somebody a high vote,
they
can still get one vote. Okay, so it's a mix throughout.
I'm not going to ask you that for all of them because I don't want to give it away. I mean, I think it's clear this guy got one vote.
He got one vote.
But, okay, so that's kind of where we're at with things. So as we dive deeper into this top 100, though, they will...
Oh, yeah, and even at the bottom, some people have gotten multiple votes because remember, your votes are weighted.
Yes.
So somebody could have gotten five runner-up votes and they still would not have beat Andrew Main.
Excellent. Okay,
because he got a high vote.
Okay, go ahead.
All right.
Are we moving on?
Yep.
Number 98.
To Mickey Zucker Reichert, who I have not read, and I'm guessing you have not heard of.
Correct.
I haven't heard of her either. And it's a her. I checked that up and made note of it, because you don't want to call a woman a man.
No.
But she
they hate
is
that.
Is a they do. She is a fantasy novelist, famous for her Renshai series, which apparently draws from Norse mythology.
Oh. She stole from Marvel Comics. The idea of Thor and Odin and the trickster, Loki.
She stole from Marvel Comics.
All right.
All right.
Number 97.
Number 97, Thomas Ligotti, who I've heard of, but not read.
I have not heard of.
Okay.
I'm not supposed to be keeping track of you're not heard, right?
No.
Just read.
I'm read, not read. You're heard, not heard of.
Okay.
And right now you're winning.
Yes.
By one.
Okay, go ahead.
So Thomas Ligotti is a horror novelist slash philosopher. His philosophical books are based on a mixture of nihilism and H.P. Lovecraftian mythology.
Oh, that's interesting.
Interestingly enough, his philosophy was a major influence on writing the character of Russ Cole in True Detective. Mm. In fact, Russ Cole quotes him in a few cases, which has been the subject of controversy since some people can't distinguish between a quote and plagiarism. But we'll leave that for another day. So Thomas Ligotti, I would like to check him out because of his influence on True Detective. I don't think I would agree with his philosophy, but Russ Cole is a very fascinating character.
I'm pretty sure we mentioned this author on a previous episode, actually, when talking about True Detective.
I don't think so.
Wasn't there some book that all of a sudden they found out this book has a lot to do with True Detective?
Yeah, not this one.
Okay.
Yeah. That was Robert Chambers, the King in Yellow.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Number 96.
Megan Spooner. I have not read her.
I have not heard of her.
I wouldn't think so. She is a fantasy novelist. Author of the Starbound series. And once again, we are going to read a little description here. It's a night like any other on board the Icarus. Then catastrophe strikes. The massive luxury space liner is yanked out of hyperspace and plummets into the nearest planet. And Lilac LaRue and Tarver Morenson, they must have worked hard on those names, survive, and they seem to be alone. Lilac is the daughter of the richest man in the universe. Of course she is. Tarver comes from nothing, a young war hero who learned long ago that girls like Lilac are more trouble than they're worth. Holy crap. How many cliches can we get into one description?
Hey, we're not supposed to judge the authors on this.
I'm judging the description.
Okay. So this, who's to blame? The publisher?
The publisher. I'm judging the publisher, because so far this is terrible. But but with only each other to rely on, Lilac and Tarver must work together, making a torturous journey across the eerie, deserted terrain to seek help. Then, against all odds, Lilac and Tarver find a strange blessing in the tragedy that has thrown them into, you guessed it, each other's arms.
Oh, man.
Without the hope of a future together in their own world, they begin to wonder, would they be better off staying here forever? Everything changes when they uncover the truth behind the chilling whispers that haunt their every step. Lilac and Tarver may find a way off this planet, but they won't be the same people who landed on it. That's called a character arc, everyone. Character arcs, in this case. The first in a sweeping science fiction trilogy, These Broken Stars, that's the name of the first novel, is a timeless love story about hope and survival in the face of unthinkable odds. I don't think I'm going to read that one.
All right. You want to say anything about this more?
No.
Number 95.
Number 95, Kevin J. Anderson. Kevin J. Anderson, who I have read.
Not heard.
Okay. You might have heard of him, actually. He is, now this is interesting, because we're going to have a voicemail on this one.
Okay.
And I need to give a little background on it. So Kevin J. Anderson, he's written some of his own stuff. He's written a couple Star Wars novels that I read when I was a teenager. And he's maybe most famous for writing several Dune novels.
Okay.
So Frank Herbert, the author of Dune, died, mm-hmm. as people are wont to do.
Mm-hmm.
And his son continued the series with Kevin J. Anderson. And indeed, they are still pumping out books to this day. Most Dune fans, not all, but most, hate them. They hate this series.
Okay.
Now, one of our ballots had a very interesting note at it. It said, if possible, I would like to give negative votes to Brian Herbert, the destroyer of worlds.
And now who's, that's the son?
That's the son. Okay. Kevin J. Anderson's co-writer on the Dune novels.
Okay.
And, you know, so I wrote back to him at the end of, after the polls were closed, and I tallied the votes, and I said, good news, Branson. And it's Branson, the guy who wrote that.
Branson. Yeah. Have we heard from Branson in the past?
I don't think so.
This is excellent. Hello,
yeah.
Branson.
Yeah, we're going to hear from him in a second.
Okay.
I said, good news for you. Brian Herbert did not get a single vote in the entire ballot, but his co-author, Kevin J. Anderson, did. Now, I figured since we're at the bottom of the list, it might be fun to hear a negative voicemail instead of a positive one.
Sure, why not?
You know, just to mix things up a little bit.
I like it.
So, here we are, Branson, telling you why you should not read Kevin J. Anderson.
Hello, this is Branson from a rural part of Montana, where the nearest fast food is a two-hour drive away. When I submitted my top 50 list to Ben a few weeks ago, I specifically asked him to modify the rules a bit and take away points from an author that I had come to seriously dislike for the wanton destruction he had played upon the legacy of my favorite author, Frank Herbert. I have read Dune nearly every year since picking it up in high school, and I was very excited to learn that his son was going to finish the seventh book and answer the questions of where the series was going before the death of its author. I grew more excited when I learned that Kevin Anderson was going to assist in the writing. However, all my enthusiasm was dashed when I read their first book. I tried vainly to hold on to hope through the next five, hoping that these failed attempts were merely the growth struggles of an up-and-coming author, but by the end, I could no longer believe the promise. Dune the book and the series had incredible depth that allowed further insight into the universe to be gained on every reading. Those by Kevin Anderson and Brian Herbert were pulp that could not survive the comparison. I could not trust their storytelling in the Dune universe, and now I pretend that they have never written anything within it. Their characters were shallow with limited motivations. Galactic events only paid lip service to the world built by Frank Herbert. Some authors write pulp that is fun to digest in the moment and then forget about, but others write things that last and make you return. The comparison between Brian and Frank could not be more stark. Anyway, thanks, and I love your show.
Thank you, Branson.
Yeah, thanks, Branson.
That was a great call.
And he did include in his email to me that if anyone is wondering, the fast food restaurant that is 2.5 hours away is Subway.
Subway, everybody.
Subway is the answer.
All right. Well, that was perfect, so let's move on. But thank you, Branson.
Yeah.
Number 94. Oh, I do want to say, before you hit 94, you may remember on last year's countdown, we missed one.
Oh,
because
yeah.
You were doing the countdown, and you skip the number.
So don't do it.
I didn't even notice. So this is what I think we should do. At the end of every 10 that we're...
Just say the
as
whole...
As I'm kind of like closing it out, you should just scan through. Yeah, say them straight through. Make sure we covered them.
Okay.
Okay, so number 94.
Brandon Mull, who is a children's novelist and author of such things as Fablehaven and something called, and I'm not making this up, Candy Store Wars. According to Wikipedia, he tours the country to teach children the power of imagination.
I've not heard of this.
I've not read or heard of Mr. Brandon.
I'm not making this up. Candy Store Wars.
Store Wars.
All right. I mean, I know we're crunched for time, but I almost want to read the description for Candy Store.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
All right. I'm going to see if I can find it first.
Yeah. Why not? We're not that crunched for time. Fablehaven, I guess, is going to be adapted into a movie. So there's that.
I can't find Candy Store Wars.
Nothing on Candy Store Wars?
Not on Amazon. What's this guy's name?
Brandon Mull.
How do you spell Mull?
M-U-L-L. Let's...
Oh, is it Candy Shop War?
It's the Candy Shop
War. The Candy Shop War. Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, it's no problem. Glad we covered we fixed that. Okay, here we go. This is a short description. Nope, not so short, but still fun. Magical candy that gives kids superpowers? Sweet. The possibility of evil.
Wait. Do you get the pun?
Yeah, I did.
Sweet. I just want to make sure that's not missed.
The possibilities of evil overtaking the world? Not so tasty. And so...
Note that is two food puns.
And so begins the Candy Shop War, a trilogy from this author. Welcome to the Sweet Tooth Ice Cream and Candy Shop, where the confections are a bit on the unusual side. In this start to the series, four young friends, Nate, Summer, Trevor, and Pigeon, meet the grandmotherly Mrs. White, owner of the Sweet Tooth, and soon learn about the magical side effects of her candies. Rock candy that makes you weightless. Jawbreakers that make you unbreakable. Chocolate balls that make you a master of disguise. In addition, the ice cream truck driver, Mr. Stott, has arrived with a few enchanted sweets of his own. But what about the mysterious man in the dark overcoat and fedora hat? And why are all of these magicians trying to recruit Nate and his friends? Who can they trust?
We'll find out in Candy Shop Wars.
Find out in Candy Shop Wars, everybody.
I don't think I'm going to read that.
All right, me either. Number 93.
Octavia Butler, who I have read.
I have not heard of.
Yeah. So I'd take the lead. Taking the early lead here, everyone.
I'll give you the exact tally at the end.
Okay. She is famous for her Xenogenesis series, which I have read a little bit of the first book. It's essentially a science fiction series where Earth has been destroyed except for, I don't know how many people are left, but we follow this one lady who's supposed to kind of repopulate a new Earth. But in return, the aliens want to genetically change her in several ways. So it's kind of this tension between losing our humanity to survive as a species. And I didn't finish it only because I had a ton of other things I was reading at the time, but I do want to return to it at some point because it was very well written. Died in 2006, our first dead author. Our first dead
bummer
author.
I think we're at 92, number 92.
Diana Wynne Jones. I have not read her, but I have heard of her.
All right. I have not heard of her.
Well, you might have heard of her book, Howl's Moving Castle,
nope,
which was adapted into an Academy Award-winning movie in 2004. I think she's a children's fantasy author, also dead in 2011, though, so she beat out Miss Butler.
For latest death on
for
the
latest
countdown
death.
So,
yes.
Far.
So far.
Just to be clear, that's what she beat her in.
Yes. But here's an interesting note. She heard both C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien lecture live at Oxford during her life.
That would be cool.
So how is that for a claim to fame?
Okay, that's cool.
I guess that's not a claim to fame. There's probably lots of not famous people who had that same experience, but it's one I'm jealous of.
Yeah.
So I actually do have one of her books downloaded because I got it on like a Kindle deal of the day, and I thought it'd be one that Ellie might enjoy. So I am going to read her eventually, but we haven't gotten to it yet.
Nice. All right, number 90. Man, I'm losing track. 92?
91. Yep. Susan Cooper, who I have not read.
I have not heard of.
Are you sure? She wrote a book called Dark is Rising that was...
Please stop asking me if I'm sure.
Well, it was adapted into a movie a few years back.
What? Which movie?
Dark is Rising.
Nope.
Apparently it was very bad, but her influence is our British legend and Arthurian legend. And the movie is supposed to suck, but the book's supposed to be good. So check it out. Children's novelist.
That was it. That's 91. That's it. So can you read it through 100 through 91?
You bet I can. Number 100, Lemony Snicket. Number 99, Andrew the Magician Maine. Number 98, Mickey Zucker Reichart. Thomas Ligotti is number 97. 96 was Megan Spooner of that crashed on the planet. Number 95, the infamous Kevin J. Anderson. 94, Candy Shop Wars, Brandon Mull. 93, Octavia Butler, our first dead author. Number 92, Diana Wynne Jones. And number 91, Susanna Clark Cooper. Hit that music.
Did it.
All right.
Well, everybody, now you get an idea for what we're going to be going for here with these top 10s for each of, well, over the course of the top 100. So some quick episodes, and we'll just, you know, get you the,
we're gonna
get
have
you
some
the
fun.
Facts. Now, we're going to have some facts.
I imagine that when we get into our closer to the top 10, we'll spend more time on each author.
Maybe. I mean, as long as we know them. That's the one.
I think we'll know them.
So, that is all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
And I am Ben DiBono.
We are the Sci-Fi Christians signing off.
Goodbye, everyone.
This podcast is a proud member of the Crossover Nexus. A group of podcasts and blogs exploring faith and pop culture. Find more.
Faith, pop culture.
Find more podcasts that engage your spirit and imagination at
crossovernexus.com.
www.crossovernexus.com. Yeah. And speaking of our website, why don't you tell everybody where they can email and call us?
TheSciFiChristian.com. You can email us feedback at TheSciFiChristian.com. You can call us 612-4121-SFC.
We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. Just find us everywhere.
Have we heard any from our Twitter friend recently?
We have, but you have to wait for the listener feedback episode to hear that. Or the news episodes, I should say. Well,
all right.
Thanks for visiting with us here tonight. We appreciate each and every one of you listeners.
Yeah, crossovernexus.com.
You want to fade that out?
Oh, sure. I thought you wanted me to say something about the...
Oh, yeah, I pointed at you for the fade, not for the just making up more things. But that's fine if you have anything else you wanted to say.
Did it fade?
Seems
is it fading?
Yeah.
Oh, it took a long time.
So long, folks.
Right, goodbye.